Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show on American Family on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, a lot of you have asked about Brian Fisher, host of Focal Point here on American Family Radio, weekdays 1 to 3 Central Time. Brian will be back hosting his show in 2 hours from now.
Yeah.
So it's no secret. Brian had surgery last week and is recovering. Praise the Lord for his quick recovery.
We've been praying for him. We know a lot of his listeners, very faithful. They've been praying for him as well.
Yeah, so if you want to, so Brian will be on the air in 2 hours from now. So
it's hard to keep Brian away from his show. I will say that.
Yeah,
exactly. He's dedicated.
Exactly. So if you're bored with us, 2 hours from now, just tune in to Brian. No, it takes four of us. Brian can handle the whole 2 hours by himself. I don't see how someone does that, but he's able to do it.
With a stack of papers and stories.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
He never runs out of stuff to talk about.
No.
So thank you for praying for Brian and Debbie. And anyway, Brian will be back in the saddle this afternoon, 2 hours from now. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman. And Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com.
Morning, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm well. You know, I have to say, I have never had a trouble telling the difference between you and Ed apart. You look like totally different people to me. But your announcer guy who announces the program every day doesn't seem to know the difference, because every day when you were gone, he would come in and say, here is today's
Wildman.
Issues with your host, Tim Wildman, and then Ed would start talking. He didn't know the difference. I guess you look at...
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to create a new spot when I'm away so that it doesn't introduce me every day as being gone. It just sounds...
It did.
It reflects poorly on me.
No.
For the announcer to continuously say, here's Tim Wildman, and then Ed comes on and says, Tim's out again today. So I don't know when he's coming back, but anyway, hey, before you get to the...
Yeah.
Before you get to the news of the day, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I just had to mention this. Buddy Smith, our executive vice president here at the ministry, brought this to my attention.
He's senior vice president.
Excuse me, senior vice president, which means he has a little more white hair than you have.
He does. And I just want to make sure he knows.
You're executive vice president.
Yeah.
and Buddy's senior vice president.
He's up the ladder.
He brought this to our attention. This morning.
This is great. My favorite story of the day, this one right here.
This is out of Memphis, Tennessee, as opposed to Memphis, Texas.
Egypt.
There's Memphis, Texas. Because I remember one time we were talking about Memphis, and we were saying, I don't think there's another Memphis.
That's right.
Besides Tennessee in the country. And we got a email from, a lady who works in Memphis, Texas.
Yeah.
Who said, beg your pardon.
Didn't she work in like the mayor's office or the Chamber of Commerce or
something? We were able then to interview the mayor, I think.
Yeah,
the mayor of Memphis, because we felt bad about saying that it was the only Memphis in the country, Tennessee. And then we get a call from Memphis, Texas saying, no, there's more than one. And I think it was in Memphis, Missouri too, by the way. But anyway, so then we decided, hey, we need to have this mayor on. I think it was the mayor of Memphis, Texas, to make up for our faux pas.
Yes.
And we did. But anyway, I digress or regress. What's the difference?
Regress means going backwards. Digress simply means you get off track.
All right. I digress. I'm not going backwards.
No way. Full speed ahead.
No.
Even if we're going in the wrong
direction.
We're
progressive here. That's right. Don't admit you're wrong. Just keep going. Anyway, this story out of Memphis, Tennessee. And it's Dateline March 12th, whenever that was. When the story says, when Ryan Bernard bought the old bank building in Orange Mound, he found an unusual use for the drive-through window. Bernard, owner of the R. Bernard Funeral Services, you see where this is going, people, offers grieving loved ones the chance to pay their last respects conveniently from their car. As Dave Barry would say, I'm not making this up. Guests drive up and view the body through a bulletproof window. I don't know why that's necessary. The person's already dead. But anyway, guests drive up and view. We're not making this up.
This is true.
They drive up. You can drive up now and view the body through a bulletproof window. The drive-through visitation service is a mobile spin on the traditional wake. And then I will quote the aforementioned owner, Mr. Bernard. He said, quote, I got the idea a couple of years back when I was in California. It caught my attention. I thought it was neat, and I thought I could bring it back to Memphis and this area. Being in Memphis, we are surrounded by a lot of big-name funeral homes and that have been around for 100 years. So being the new kid on the block, so to speak, I needed something unique to make me stand apart.
Or lay apart.
So he decided, you know, hey, take this. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like you're envisioning it. You have a bank that's no longer in operation. Funeral home buys the bank. You have the teller window, what used to be the teller window. And so then you put the deceased in their casket, but you put them at the window. And then the people can drive by and pay their respects rather than actually having to go to a funeral home, walk inside, and do the traditional
because Americans don't need to walk from their car to the funeral home. We just that's too much work. Hey, the good thing is too, if you want to give flowers, you just stick it in that little canister and it sucks.
Yeah, that's so wrong. That is so wrong.
This would be a particularly apt ending for
flowers. I mean, why not just stick it in the canister? You're watching. Doesn't grandma look? She looks so natural. Hey, leave your sister's French fries alone. I'm not going to tell you again.
This would be a particularly apt ending for my Uncle Tom, who it turns out we're not too proud of on that side of my family because he was a peeping Tom. And so now he's able to see everybody through the window like he did in life.
Oh, that's wrong, man. Too, Steve.
That is, wow.
I'm going to have to get this show back on track.
This is definitely a new low.
Yeah, we have seriously. You know, we may have regressed. Forget the digress. We may have regressed.
I don't know. Do you? Can you leave your comment by pressing the button?
That's right.
So you press the button.
See, you're regressing right there with us.
See, yes. This is. Please mark down that Bill and Sarah Johnson were here for Leroy, and he looks great. And
could you sign the guest book for us?
Please sign the guest book for us, and flowers are on the way.
I've just posted this article. If people don't believe what you're saying,
right? We're not making this
true.
Up.
I just posted the USA Today also covered it.
I think this is going to be. It could be start a trend.
Right.
You know, trends start from California.
Yes.
For better or for worse. They start
mostly
from California.
Mostly for worse.
Yeah.
But this one started from California.
I hope this doesn't become a trend.
Where,
turn banks into funeral home drive-thrus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's begging for mockery.
Yeah.
That's just putting up a sign saying, please mock us.
And maybe that was his goal. You know, I'll make headlines. I'll become...
They show a picture of the big window with the casket.
Yeah. Right.
They don't actually show a person in it, but
now he said the gentleman who owns it, Mr. Bernard, said we still have traditional visitation services. So you can there's a menu of choices for your deceased family member. You can
hey, I got
go
it.
Traditional or?
Instead of signing the book, the guest book like you said, they have a car hop come on roller skates, bringing the guest book to your window, and you sign it
dressed appropriately.
Yes,
though I would say, and you could sign it. Hey, it's just one step toward making life more convenient in America.
Right,
that's what this is all about. You're listening to the radio program Ripley's Believe It or Not. And no, you're not. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Just so you'll know, we're not making this story up. Walker has posted it on our Facebook page.
Yes, I posted a USAtoday.com article, okay. And the headline is Drive-Thru Viewing Comes to Memphis Funeral Home.
Right. Today's Issues Facebook page. You can check that article out. All right. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
What do you got leading the news this morning?
Well, top of the page at onenewsnow.com. That's onenewsnow.com. I've got two stories I'd like to point out. One is a story that I did on Islam becoming the fastest growing faith group in the world, according to the Pew Research Center. In the next, by 2050, it is the Islamic faith will increase by an estimated 73%, more than doubling the pace of Christianity. And if it doesn't slow down, it's going to outpace Christianity. There'll be more Muslims than Christians by the end of the century. And
that surprised me.
The reason is twofold. They're having more children, and they're younger Muslims. The average age of a Muslim in the world is 23. But as our Alex McFarland points out, there's always an opportunity. You know, Christianity is really spreading in the Muslim world. You don't talk about that much because it's really dangerous to talk about it. You can't really be specific. But as Alex said, and this is his quote, "The only worldview that has the evidence on its side, plus the power to change the human heart, is still Christianity."
So I would think that another large part of that trend, that demographic trend, is that a lot of Christians live in Western countries, and typically, as a country grows more affluent, the people start to have fewer children.
Yeah,
but in a lot of poorer countries, the birth rate is usually higher, and that's where you're talking about North Africa, Africa, some parts of Southeast Asia.
It is also a tenet of their faith, though, that they have a lot of children to spread the faith.
Well,
they don't have birth control. They don't have much birth control or abortion, do they? In Muslim countries,
no,
right.
Nor do they desire sad things.
But it is supposed to be a tenet of the Christian faith too: be fruitful and multiply.
Well, and here's the other thing that Alex pointed out. He said it wouldn't surprise him that some of that growth is coming from people who outwardly confess because they're afraid of being killed, but inwardly don't.
Mm. Right.
So, for what it's worth, a real opportunity and a warning for the church. And then
what I always wondered about these statistics is how do you know? You know, they say that Christianity is growing in the Muslim world. What do we have facts? Do we have stats? How do you survey that?
That's comes to me from hearsay examples. What I'm hearing from people who have knowledge of what the spiritual happenings in the Middle East.
I hope that's true, but
The Iranian government, for example, has warned that a lot of their young people are being converted to Christianity. That's what they use that, and they say this we've got to get control over Christianity because a lot of our young people are converting. And so Steve's right. I mean, it's hard to do hard and fast, polling and surveys. But now I will say this: Gallup does survey the Muslim world. I mean, they go into these countries and do surveys. So part of that, I'm guessing, is that kind of statistical.
This would be Pew Research, and they do the same thing.
Pew Research. Yeah. Maybe it's Pew that does that.
By the way, when we talk about this is a regression. Or digression, I guess you could say, again. But it just begs the question when we talk about, you know, they keep saying that President Trump is targeting Muslims because his temporary travel ban has to do with majority Muslim countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those same liberals don't apply the same standard to America. What they're saying is that because a majority of the people who live in these countries are Muslim, these are Muslim countries. You'll hear that expression used by the left all the time to describe them. Well, a vast majority of Americans are Christian. So why do they have a problem with calling America a Christian country? Why doesn't the same standard apply?
I think in some cases, there actually is a state religion of Islam. In many of these countries, there's a very little differentiation between the civil government and the church in those countries and the Muslim.
Well, the founding of the U.S. was largely Christian. I mean, state-sponsored, you know, the Christian faith was...
Yeah, but that's not... I understand what you're saying, Steve. That's not what they're going on. They're just saying these are where... These are majority Muslim countries. Mm-hmm. So we're going to call them Muslim countries.
Yeah.
The leftist liberals who use the expression Muslim countries won't use the same with us, America, when America is the vast majority of religious people in America are Christian.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question.
But you call us a Christian nation, they freak out and they go, no. Remember President Obama saying we're not a Christian nation?
It may have to do with Steve's talking about what the official designation is. Officially in the United States, we have no religious test, and, you know, but in Muslim countries, everyone's supposed to be Muslim. Mm. Leaders are supposed to be Muslim.
Mm-hmm. So you have no freedom in Muslim countries.
Right. I'm just trying to guess at what
they're supposed to be just as good as we are, right?
Right.
We're not supposed to. I mean, they're so
I think it boils down to what liberals
they hate Christianity.
What they hate and what they like, and they tend to like fall on the err on the side of Muslims in particular times, because Muslim is the opposite of Christianity. Muslim religion, and it's the enemy of Christianity.
Secular liberals, otherwise known as secular progressives, whatever is against Christianity, they're for.
Right.
So if that means they have to embrace Islam, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Or be protective of it.
Yeah. Huh? Or be protective or defensive of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if it's against Christianity, that's the side they want to be on. Ironically, if you were to live in an Islamic country, you could not promote your secular progressive ideas at all. You can only do that in a nation that has Christians.
Well, good grief. Some of the Western media in Western countries, remember, they would not publish the cartoons that led to some of those murders and some of those protests, cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad.
Right.
So they censored themselves in Western countries,
mm-hmm.
let alone try to be a free press in a majority Muslim country.
I've mentioned this before, but I never will forget the story I read 3 or 4 years ago. I don't have it at the tip of my hands right now, but tip of my fingers, I should say. The story out of Great Britain, where the gentleman who was in charge of the BBC news agency, probably the largest news agency in the world, Steve, wouldn't you say that? And AP?
Among them, yes.
Anyway, this fellow was asked about what you're talking about, Ed. He said, they said, why the double standard? Why do you criticize Christianity, BBC, but you won't in the same way criticize Islam? And I was sort of flabbergasted that the guy would admit to it. And he said, yeah, we do treat them differently because Christianity has broad shoulders and can take it. Islam is sensitive and can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm paraphrasing there, but that, in essence, that's what he was saying.
I think he did use the phrase broad shoulders.
Broad shoulders.
Yeah.
What he was saying was Christians won't bomb us. if we criticize Jesus Christ, Christians aren't going to come in and mow us down.
They sent a note to the editor.
Yeah, well, yeah, they organized letters to the editor or something like that. They walk out in front of their offices with signs. I mean, that's the Christian crazy protest.
Right.
You insult the Prophet Muhammad in the same way you would Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to put a fatwa out. You know, isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, that's fatwa. What it's called.
Remember what happened to Salman Rushdie 30 years ago, 40 years ago? I mean, you put out something. He wrote satanic verses. So what he was, the media treats Islam and Christianity, they have two different standards because they're scared of what will happen if radical Muslims react. They're not scared of radical Christians praying for them too much.
Right.
You know, so it's a complete double standard. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Maybe before tomorrow I can find that, what I just referenced, that story, and put it on the website. What else you got, Steve?
Well, you want to talk about latest pop star gone bad?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my.
Tabloid me, please.
Okay. There was a young Christian artist upon a time named Katy Perry. She started out her life as a Christian singer and was raised in a Christian home. And then she kind of left all of that behind. And this last weekend, she was given an award, or recently anyway, she was given an award by the Human Rights Campaign, which is the misnomered gay rights organization.
They're the largest LGBTQ organization in America.
Right,
they are.
The Human Rights Campaign. They're very well funded. And so they were she was out in Los Angeles.
She was.
Attended an event sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign.
Was given an
award. Right.
Right. And at which time she reflected back on her upbringing.
But B, how was I going to reconcile that with a gospel singing girl raised in youth groups that were pro-conversion camps? Let's take a trip down memory lane for 1 second. My first words were, Mama and Dada, God and Satan. Right and wrong were taught to me on felt boards, and of course through the glamorous Jan Krause, crying diamond teardrops every night on that Vaseline TBN television screen. When I was growing up, homosexuality was synonymous with the word abomination and hell, a place of gnashing of teeth, continuous burning of skin, and probably Mike Pence's ultimate guest list for a barbecue. No way. I wanted the pearly gates and the unlimited froyo toppings. So, most of my unconscious adolescence, I prayed the gay away at my Jesus camps.
Rather sarcastically recounting her youth.
I feel bad for her parents. Her parents are pastors,
I understand.
Ministers. And, you know, listen, folks, if you're listening, that was Katy Perry. I know some of you are outraged by that or you're upset, whatever, but this girl is lost as a goose. She is out mocking Christianity to a homosexual organization. And boy, we just need to pray for her.
What was the joke about barbecue?
Apparently Mike Pence is going to be spending some time in hell with these people.
Yeah, I have no idea what she meant.
She doesn't believe
that.
In hell.
Well, she grew up believing in hell.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're right. She's mixed up, messed up, and wow.
I didn't know that she was, she defined herself as a lesbian.
Bisexual, I think.
Praying the gay away.
She's the girl that did the song "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It."
Right. Was that her breakout hit?
Among the hits that she's had, and she said to this crowd a piece that I didn't mention. She did more than just kiss a girl, is what she said. So she has been questioning her sexuality. She said that she came to the realization with the help of all her LGBT friends that sexuality is not black and white. It's a whole fluid, mess.
So you can change.
For those, I know most, probably a lot of our listeners don't listen to her music or know the, but it just, she is very popular.
Yeah.
And has been for a few years now. So in terms of impacting youth pop culture, Katy Perry is one of the, right.
So what we can learn from that is don't look to Hollywood to shape your worldview.
Right.
Yeah. And we, as Ed said, we need to pray for Katy Perry because she's lost and she's mocking the things of God.
Right.
And that's a scary place to be,
quite
frankly. But anyway, listen, folks, Steve, thank you.
Nice to be with you.
For your contributions to this program today. And we digress now for 24 hours. Actually, 22 and a half.
Yes.
But we will be back on a Tuesday for more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. My thanks to Ed and to Walker, Fred, and Jeremy. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks.